This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
For the future. Today, we kick off 100 Day Week with a focus on the president's historic effort to secure our southern border. Later this afternoon, President Trump will sign an executive order on law and order and another executive order on sanctuary cities. The first EO will strengthen and unleash America's law enforcement to pursue criminals and protect innocent citizens. The second EO is centered around protecting American communities from criminal aliens, and it will direct the Attorney General and Secretary of Homeland Security to publish a list of state and local jurisdictions that obstruct the enforcement of federal immigration
laws. All right, that is Caroline Levitt live at the White House right now. They've just started their press briefing talking about a couple of EOs there that are going to be coming up. Maybe they'll have one that talks about judges that violate their oath and protect criminals over American U.S. citizens and defy ICE, because we've seen a couple of cases of that. Of course, our Annie Fry is actually in that press briefing right now. I don't know if she's going to get to ask a question here at some point, but we'll dip back into it in just a few minutes. Right now, we have Ashley Smith-Thomas with us this morning, a political strategist, founder and CEO of Freedom Fund USA. Ashley, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, now that we've seen two different judges get in trouble for using their personal home or their courtroom to protect illegals, what is going on in this country? And isn't it refreshing that we're finally seeing a crackdown on that?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's really disheartening to see this, because when you look at the role of a judge and the importance of the responsibility, the moment they put on that black robe, to then see them trying to help an illegal escape and evade ICE using the jury exit, which is prohibited, is really unfortunate. And when you have a judge that was using his property to harbor illegal immigrants, let alone an alleged TDA, Trinidad Aragua, a gang member, which according to President Trump's day one executive order, TDA is designated a terrorist organization. So now you can say that this judge was harboring a terrorist. I mean, it is really unfortunate, again, that this is happening. But it is refreshing to see that we have a president and a DOJ that is working aggressively to uphold the rule of law, because no one is above the law. And that includes these judges. And so what is really interesting to see is how the DOJ is handling the situation that they have evidence of, particularly this magistrate judge out of New Mexico. They have the evidence of evidence tampering and how he was harboring these illegals. I'm just glad to see that we're starting to see accountability. And to me, I think that is one of the things that President Trump had said, even when he launched his campaign for his third campaign for president, he made it very clear that his job was to restore law and order and safe streets in America. And so that is what we're seeing by holding these judges accountable. We are seeing the restoration of law and order here in our country.
Ashley, I don't know if you'd know the answer to this question, but I know, for example, the New Mexico judge resigned. We don't know what will happen to this Wisconsin judge. Do you know at what point that she could be essentially pulled from the bench and saying you no longer are qualified to be in this role given the circumstances?
That's such a great question. So according to reports, particularly this judge in Wisconsin, I don't have an answer pertaining to her stepping down. But what is interesting is that she could face up to 6 years in prison for helping this criminal alien evade ICE. And so that in itself, she could be seeking prison time. And she's being charged with obstruction of proceedings before a department or agency of the United States and concealing a person to prevent arrest. So it's not going to go well for her. When you look at this judge in New Mexico and his wife, I mean, when you actually read the stories and the reports that's coming out about this, it's just twisted, in my opinion, because why would you destroy evidence? And again, why are you harboring illegals and a terrorist on your property? But more, when you look at this, it's looking like they could actually, Judge Cano and his wife, could face up to 15 years in prison.
Wow.
So it's not going to go well for him either. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here in the coming days, what more will be revealed about these judges.
Well, it's, it's also, they could be making an example of these two to try to warn other judges who might feel this way, that they have this power, to let them know you don't, and we'll come after you if you do this.
Absolutely. And I think that this is something that the DOJ is doing, is using these two as an example by showing extreme force. But also, Pam Bondi said in a message on Friday, quote, "The rule of law is very simple. It doesn't matter what line of work you're in. If you break the law, we will follow the facts and we will prosecute you." Hmm. And that is exactly what is happening here. And so they're making it very known that they will hold judges accountable who are breaking the law. And again, it's about upholding the rule of law. And so it's sad to see that these judges are doing this. However, I'm glad to see that we're seeing the DOJ hold these judges accountable. I would not be surprised if in the coming days, if we see more judges being arrested, just given the fact that we have seen such, in my opinion, an increase of activist judges. So for us to hold them accountable and get the politics out of the way and prevent these judges from moving forward with breaking the law, hopefully by using these two as an example, these judges will change their mind and change their ways. But I would not be surprised if we saw more judges arrested here in the coming weeks.
Yeah, very good. Ashley, we appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
You bet. Ashley Smith Thomas there, president of the Freedom Fund USA, and good to get her thoughts on that. Tom Homan has just started speaking at this news conference at the White House press briefing room. Let's dip into that.
Some
Ethan, please.
Steps to secure the border, because they understood national security was important. Joe Biden was the first president in the history of this nation who came into office and unsecured a border on purpose. That's just a fact. We handed the Biden administration, after President Trump's first administration, we handed the Biden administration the most secure border in my lifetime, and he unsecured it on purpose. Now, President Trump and this administration here, their success is unprecedented. We beat Trump's first administration on border success. Border numbers are historic low. Today, as I'm standing here, we have the most secure border in the history of this nation. And the numbers prove it. President Trump's policies are saving lives every day. There's been studies done that says 31% of women that make that journey through use of cartels get sexually assaulted. When President Trump has illegal immigration down 96%, when 96% less people are coming, how many women aren't being sexually assaulted by the cartels? How many children aren't dying making that journey? How many women and children aren't being sex trafficked into this nation? How many known suspected terrorists aren't making it into this country? How many pounds of fentanyl isn't getting to this country to kill young Americans? How many women and children aren't sex trafficked? Under Joe Biden, sex trafficking is up 600%. We had 4,000 aliens dying making that journey. We had 250,000 Americans dead from fentanyl that came across an open border. President Trump's policy saves lives every day. Even the border wall saves lives. The people want to hate on the border wall. Every place a border barrier has been built, illegal migrations decline, illegal drug flows decline. But you know what no one talks about? The border wall saves lives. Because the most vulnerable, the women and children, can't get over that wall, which means they're going to a place where there's not a wall. And what's waiting on them? The men and women of the United States Border Patrol, who will take care of those humanitarian needs, the health needs right off the bat. We just rolled the numbers. Let me talk about a few numbers that are important to me.
All right. So Tom Homan there speaking this morning, highlighting the border success during the president's first 100 days. I'm sure that's going to be the focus of the press briefing today and tomorrow. Tomorrow actually is the 100th day. And we saw as they were getting ready for this, they had a wide shot of the room. You could see Annie standing there along the left side of the wall. I remember being in there during Trump's first term. I got to go and had to stand in the back or back left side of the room. It's a tiny room. TV cameras dominate the back with these feeds. And then they've got a row of chairs. I don't know. It may seat 70 people, top 60 people maybe. But it's just a tiny little room. We'd be anxious to hear Annie's take on having been there, because it's pretty awesome to be in that room, because not many Americans get the chance to do that. So that's pretty cool to be there. Maybe Annie will get to ask a question this morning.
I hope so. She said it was going to be something about, well, Governor Pritzker and the pushback that he's given the Trump administration and kind of pounding his chest and saying, I'm not going to comply and make it easy for you. What implications does that have? And he's not the only one doing this, but Pritzker just...
You'd think he could at least share some food. I mean,
hey,
something.
I could go for some food.
I'm just saying. I that's what I think. Kim, what are we talking about coming up on Kim on a Whim?
I want to talk about this whole situation out of Vancouver, that really, really sad situation where there was this festival going on, a Filipino festival. Guy drives the car into the group. 11 people are killed, dozens more injured. Well, now new information's coming out about the background of this guy, and it just opens up. We need to have a bigger conversation about what's going on here.
All right. That's when we come back. Stay tuned.